Hello everyone, this is Ian Along. This is Tagging Along with me, Ian Along, and this is a show called Tag Along with Ian Along. Tatlo yan ah. So, right now, as always, I'm doing my podcasting while driving. And this is the good thing about being an independent podcaster, is that the only limitations that I have is the time that I have, or the time that I will invest or spend in doing my podcast. But the downside is, well, content creators need money. That's the reality of things, ladies and gentlemen, that the podcasters, even if that is their passion, the passion requires money. For example, if you're part of an organization or advocacy group, they talk about passion, it's not for free, ladies and gentlemen. It's not for free. When you have a passion like music, you will buy a quality instrument, or you will made a custom made, you will have your instruments custom made, musical instruments. And based on my, and it does it, and at the very least, hundreds of thousands. You need those equipment just for you to have a recording studio, just for you to have a minimal recording studio, but just because for you to have the musical, or at the very least, even if you do not want to have a recording studio, at least you have an instrument. And that spends money. Even passion, even the cheapest organization, sorry for the word cheap, don't get me wrong, cheapest when it comes to membership dues. And you know, there are organizations that have monthly dues or annual or semi-annual dues or quarterly dues. Still, it is money. So now, where am I heading on this off topic part? The thing is, even the independent podcasters need money to do so, and that is the downside when you do things independently and doing things like this. And I understand that part. Thus, if you want to send your contributions, this is a shameless plug, by the way, a shameless promotion. And in this day and age, we need to be frank about it. My GCash is 0928-5969 if you're in the Philippines. My GCash number is 0928-5969. Any amount will do. And it will not be that big. At least there is that part when you recognize me as a podcaster. Recognition is such a way not a form of being conceited, and being full of myself. It's just that sometimes, unlike radio broadcasters, unlike television presenters, unlike TV hosts, they have mainstream media, they have advertisers. Even in what you call podcaster, they have this network of podcasters. And that network of podcasters, they have this producer, they distribute things. I do not want to be technical on this one because I'm not really too familiar about it. That's a point. But still, it has money. But so much for that. That's not my topic for this morning or for today. Hindi po siya ang topic ko. Napasok ko lang yun kasi if you will notice bakit ako nagpa-podcast in an independent basis, bakit walang schedule. Although yung mga ibang independent podcasters, they manage to have a schedule. And because of the schedule, nagkakaroon sila ng mga ng break. Kasi steady schedule nila. But just like the Machong Chismisan crew, which meron silang podcasting, they are under this podcasting group. At they have a day job, and so do I. And I also, just like them, I also have a family. When you say family, it doesn't have to be brother, sister, or you don't have to be a married individual. I'm a married man myself, but I do not have kids. But still, my wife is family, right? Wife is family. So this lengthy introduction, it gives you a glimpse that despite my rants, despite my podcasting passion, I still have I have family, my wife, and also her relatives, her loved ones, my in-laws, and also my mom, my brother, and his family. And from there, you can have a glimpse that I'm also just like every one of you, a person who has a family or loved ones. Again, family, you may not have a family, but you have love. You have people who care for you, and you care for them in return. Now that is family. And you live together, stay together in one room. Even if you no longer have a biological family, you have that kind of family, and that it itself is good enough to be considered as family. Now, ladies and although legally speaking, you will not have some
start fine, recording emergency video.
Okay, so that is my sensor. If you notice that I'm driving, that is my sensor, because that's the Philippine road. That's Filipino. That's a Philippine road. Despite the fact that this is a freeway, there have the bumpiness of the road. There is this bumpiness in the road here in the Philippines. That if you set up a sensitive, if you set up a camera,
recording complete,
just like this, it will have this warning, because they treat the bumps on the road as emergency or some accident. So that's how things work out on this camera. Logical procedure. If the road is not smooth, or it has a big sudden bumps, it will be treated as an accident. So that's how logical technology is. But discussion will tell you, that's the creative part of you will say, this is Philippines. This is a Filipino road. Now that is an 8-minute introduction. Too much introduction. And I'm a Christian. For those of you who are not still get the sign, I'm a Christian. I grew up in the church, and I grew up in the Sunday school system. You know, those kids who are at Sunday school every morning. Usually it's morning, and then after that, after the Sunday school, you will have your morning service. But in the case of kids, we are being stayed and we are being segregated from the older ones. And in my then church's case, we are only absorbed in the main service when we are teens. And actually, growing up, I'm really, really excited to attend that service. At a young age, as early as 12, I really look forward and I really want to attend that morning service. So that's how, I will not mention the details on this one, but I'm just trying to say, and not only that, I'm also a graduate of Christian Academy, of that same church, meaning I am what you call homegrown Christian. Some people call it a homegrown Christian because unlike those people who were shared the gospel from outside the church. I grew up in the church, and that's where I found the Lord. That's where the Lord found me. Sorry to say, it's not the you didn't find God. God found you. That's how. That is my position. That's how things work. So, ladies and gentlemen, this today, in the fundamentalist evangelical community, there is this. I want to show to you that. I just want to use that as another set of introduction, so that I will, so that you will. So that you will see that, and even if even until my early 20s, I'm still very active in the youth ministry until I'm 26 or 25, I mean, until when I was 25 years old, and then I returned to the youth ministry in another church back in 2006. And maybe I have mentioned this in the podcast or in my wall, that the reason behind the reason, that's another topic, but I am engrossed, or I am church has been part of my life. The church has been part of my life. The Christian faith has been part of my life, even if it is not taught as a subtitle of my podcast. And before, I'm really very vocal sharing the good news of even while inside the bus, in my fellow passenger, and also I'm very vocal also with my schoolmates and classmates, but that's another topic to talk. But the thing is, the point is, I know what I'm talking about when I talk about this. Recently, for over the years, there has been this theological nuance, because if you will take it close, this is the very reason why religion, people who are not into, people who find religious people hypocrite, use this as an excuse why they do not want to join the religion to begin with. But it's not actually they do not want to join the religion, just that it's not their time to know the Lord. Or we cannot say for certain. At least in the evangelical, at least in the Philippines, outside the Philippines, there is this discussion or battle between the Calvinistic faith or the Calvinistic theology, or other people call it covenant theology, or because some churches hold to the Calvinistic faith, Calvinistic theology, but they are more into premillennialism. But if you are into covenant theology, most probably, more often than not, if not all the time, you are into amillennialism. But there are Calvinistic churches we hold to the Calvinistic Calvinist theology, who are into premillennialism or pre-tribulation. I myself believe in the pre-tribulation, that Jesus Christ will come before the tribulation, and after that tribulation, after the seven-year tribulation, there will be a millennial reign, an actual millennial reign, which I will not have discussions with anyone else. I will not not have discussions with anyone else at this station, at this time, because that's not the point. The point is to give you the idea that one of the things that non-Calvinist theology, people who doesn't adhere to Calvinist theology, is that they are into people choose to be saved. They do not adhere into the Calvinist theology because, well, how they say it, it is men are robots that they do not have a choice. Mindless robots that they do not have a choice. So that's how the Strowman fallacy works on them. But again, that's not my topic. The question is, I adhere to the Calvinist theology, and I'm shaking my head every time I had this discussion. But the question is, despite my podcast, despite my Facebook post, why I do not join this quote-unquote exchanges regarding the theology? And mind you, this is not about ecumenism per se, or this is not about toxic positivity, which I do also disagree. And for those of you who truly listen to me, you know that I disagree with toxic positivity. Thus, it's not about toxic positivity. I'm not because of good vibes. That's so lame. Although my reason is petty. My reason is petty why I do not join this kind of a theological discussion. The pettiest reason why I don't join such discussion is simple. I don't belong, ladies and gentlemen. Based on experience, when you are in this group, in this discussion, let's just talk about theology A against theology B. And I'm telling you this in a perspective of evangelical fundamentalist, in the evangelical Christianity and fundamentalist. Although people have a bad impression of fundamentalists, you see this as those people who are affiliated with Al-Qaeda. That is not the original fundamentalist is all about. What I'm talking about fundamentalists is those, for example, the Christian Baptist fundamentalists, fundamentalist Christians with Baptistic leanings. That's the point, you know? So I have need to clear this up, that this is not about those Muslim extremists that I'm talking about. And this is about the fundamentalism, the Baptist fundamentalism, those people who adhere to Baptist fundamentalist theology, in which I'm still holding on to. Now, I don't belong. When people had a discussion with this, as much as I wanted to be part of this, any of these groups, sadly, I still don't belong. And I will say this bluntly. My recent church is the reason that my recent church have these discussions ongoing. My then church had a discussion like this for years. You know, Calvinistic versus Arminian. It's so simply they use this jargon. Calvinistic and Arminianism. Why I don't join this? You know, because despite my position, Calvinistic people those people who adhere to this so-called Calvinistic theology, I may share their theology, we may share a common theology, quote-unquote, but we do not share the same heart to each other. Despite the fact that I'm trying to reach out. In fact, I even question if it is really the Calvinistic theology that they're holding to, or they're just simply pissed off of the leaders, or they're just upset, or they're just critical with the leadership. And this is the very reason why I did not join the march. But at the same time, being holding on to the Calvinist theology, I didn't join the defense against these people. Like I mentioned, either way, I do not have a side to turn to. I'm not wearing any uniform, but instead, despite the sides that I will take, I will be hit on a crossfire. Even if I share the sentiment, but these people who I share sentiments with, doesn't care with me. Doesn't care. But yes, I'm not saying that what they're saying, I'm not saying the sentiments, I'm not saying that those valid sentiments, the valid those feelings, those sentiments, those observations they had are invalid. They are. But to join in this rigmarole, this silent disagreement, at the end, I do not have an ally on this. Okay, Ian. So ibig sabihin ba nito? So does this mean that if you will be given 5 or 10 allies, will you join that march? No, still. Because for me, this is not this. We can agree to disagree, but that's another topic. This episode is about the petty reasons why I do not join this theological versus wars. It's simple. No one will side with no one. I will not be on anybody's side. Passionate as I am to defend that side will not dodge the bullet that I will take. And I have proven that many, many times. And frankly, you do not have, and frankly, if you truly believe the covenant theology, if you truly believe the doctrine of grace, you will not have this elitist tendency. This elitist tendency towards imperfect leadership. You will not have this elitist tendency towards religious leaders of whose side you disagree. We should learn from university professors. We should learn from university. You should learn from colleges and universities, secular colleges and universities, which, by the way, some those people in the leadership disagree a lot because of their anti-intellectual tendencies. We should learn from them that we can exist. We can exist to agree to disagree. But at the same time, I do not want to meddle with this church matters, because it is loud. I'm loud. I'm sorry to say, I'm loud and clear on that. I'm only alone, despite the fact that I passionately defended you. I mean, those people who are claiming themselves to be Calvinistic, and yet are too exclusive-ish. Despite the validity of your, of the people's observation, but I cannot, for my family's sake and for my loved one's sake, join a kind of march in which I will not have an actual ally. Like, for example, I got bashed. Somebody will defend me. I didn't get that. You are silent. Okay. I admit, it's a little upsetting when this. It still upsets me a bit when these things are being talked about. Of course, you will disagree. Of course, you will disagree. Wala nga akong kumbaga, ito nga, sabi nga ni Vice Ganda eh, lakas din yung mambuyo pero pag sa putukan o barilan, wala kang kasama, no? Wala man lang hahatak sa iyo, when you are in this barrage of crossfire, there's not even somebody who will pull you out for safety. I do not have that kind of privilege. Unlike you, silent ones. This is the reason why my petty reasons why I don't join how about these people? How about leaders? Okay, let's face it, there are really church leaders who are, I'm not pointing particular church, pointing specific churches here, but if you read the news, the Southern Baptist Convention, what is happening to Southern Baptist Convention, the series of scandals on some pastors, this is the reason why, yes. So are you saying that these are invalid? No, they are very valid. They're very valid and they need to be called out. They need to be called out, and if you cannot call them out, you just better avoid them at all costs. No contact. Especially when you are gaslighted, when you brought the matter up. But at the end, those people, but at the same time, I cannot side with the people who do not place their support on me on this one. Because some of you, frankly, you do not want people to come to your fold in a co-equal fashion, or you do not want to put people in your fold who you feel are better than you. Either you will treat the person in a humbling manner, like what you have done, which some of you had done to me in the past, but it's okay. But it doesn't mean that your point is invalid. All I'm saying is, I will not join any march regarding this. I will not join in a march in which I will not be supported. In which when crossfire occurs, I will be left to fend for myself. I will be left to fend for myself. Talo pa tayo ng mga aktivista sa ano, mga aktivista. Talo pa tayo ng mga aktivista. Makikita mo minsan may mga aktivista na sa crossfire ang ginagawa, hinahatak nila yung na crossfire. Hinahatak nila pa atras o pa punta sa safety yung labas nila na sa crossfire. You can't do that. You have not done that. You have never done that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the petty reason why I didn't join this theological march. And mind you, ladies and gentlemen, again, if you want further, if you have more queries about this, I can talk about this further. As much as I want to, I sympathize with people into this situation. People who got sanctioned, who got disciplined unjustly because they're holding on to theology in which hindi naman kasama sa church covenant ninyo na you prosecute them, or to begin with, may church covenant, alam nyo ba yung church covenant ninyo? I sympathize with people into that situation, but at the same time, it's hard to side with them when you do not have someone to catch on to. Of course, sasabihin nyo, God is your defense, God is your fortress or God refuge in times of trouble, but at the same time, I'm a responsible person. I'm a responsible person. And if I jump into something without thinking, whose fault will be it? Is it I or you? Definitely we say you're not responsible. So which person to be blamed on this situation, this foolish situation? Yours truly. But it's okay. I understand where these people, both sides, are coming from. But these people who are being so exclusive-ish, I have seen that, I have witnessed that, I have experienced that. And then these very same people don't even have the gall to speak out. And then these people will have this elitist tendency or pseudo-elitist tendency of humbling others. How dare you? I still love you in the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. People who are like this, who I personally know, I still love you in the Lord. But it needs to be said, and definitely you will have your rebuttals to say that I'm wrong, like this is wrong, like that. So that's the point. That's why the topic is the petty reasons why I didn't take sides. You need to check on your pseudo-elitist tendency or your elitist, ecclesiastical elitist tendencies. And leaders should also check on their members. You need to. And I'm not only talking to one particular church, I'm also talking to churches who have these same struggles. You need to check on your elitist tendencies and your leadership on your leadership style. Actually, this goes against advice of personal loved ones not to meddle with this anymore. I do not have in stuff like this, unbeliever pa po ang kasama ko, or other Christians outside this situation pa ang naging support group ko. Eh sa mga social functions nga lang, halatado kayo. Tapos maghahanap kayo ng validity, make your sentiments be valid. Cult is petty, pero it helps a lot. It helps a lot when you are being emphatic. You know? So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Feel free to comment, and I might have another episode if you want to regarding this. So, this is Ian Along. Thank you very much for allowing yourself to be. Tag along.